What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 151 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. We were coming to you a little bit early this week. We are recording on a Tuesday night, which means we are not going to be talking about the TWA, but I have to go out of town for a work convention, so we are not going to get a chance to do that this week, unfortunately. We will come back for it next week. But in the meantime, we do have a lot to talk about. The Season of the Worthy trailer dropped today, and it is truly spectacular. As always, Bungie kills it with their trailer game. Great music, great information, a look at new exotics. So we're going to be breaking up the trailer. We're also going to talk a little bit about the director's cut that Luke Smith put out last week. We promised you we would, and we wanted to go over it. There's actually not a ton to talk about. He writes a lot of words, but he doesn't actually say a ton of concrete info, but we're going to go over it anyways. But first, let's get the introductions out of the way. As always, I'm your host, Mercules, joined tonight by Kit Kutcha. And how are you doing tonight, Kit?
Well, Merc, I'm pretty pumped. Like, I'll tell you what, this happens a lot with Destiny for me, right? Like, it's a little bit of a boom-bust cycle. Where beginning of season or new content drop, I'm always hyped up, I'm excited, I'm ready to go, I'm playing a lot. Starts to trail off toward the end, and then Bungie goes and releases another, like, crazy content drop, or in this case, just yet another sick trailer. And just gets the hype going back again. The only thing that is bringing me down is that work has been literally so oppressive in terms of like the amount of things I have to get done every day that I have not been playing very much Destiny, and honestly I'm a little concerned I'm not going to be able to get to play as much Season of Worthy as I want to, so it's a big motivation for me to get shit done, I'll tell you that much. My boss really should be like forcing me to watch this trailer daily in order to motivate me to get stuff done faster. Maybe I'll do that to myself, I don't know. How about you?
I mean, same. I've been working a lot, and I'm also not able to play as much as I would love to, but I have been making time for myself to play at least a couple of games. Unfortunately, that means my PvP experience is pretty shit right now, because I don't ever have a chance to actually get back into the groove of things. I play two games, and then I'm done for the day, and then I play a couple of games, and, you know, as a consequence, I'm continually just getting my ass kicked in by all the, you know, top 20% players that I'm playing Instant Control, which seems to be the only people that the game is capable of matching me up, no matter how often I lose. So that's not a ton of fun, which is a bummer, because honestly, I feel like, in retrospect, Season of the Dawn was pretty good. I would have enjoyed playing it more if my Crucible experience didn't suck so much ass. But, you know, what can you do about it? I've written a bunch of breakdowns this season, which I've been happy with. We've been able to do a lot of podcast stuff this season, which I've been happy with. I've actually gotten to play, you know, the Sundial and farm the weapons I wanted, and you know, outside of the PvP experience, things have been great. And then it's interesting because Season of the Worthy looks like a lot of the focus is on the PvP experience. So maybe this will be a turning point for me where, you know, stuff starts to really, really feel great. And I'm happy for it. I'm excited. I commented on Twitter earlier, but I think this trailer is absolutely phenomenal. I mean, whoever makes the trailers at Bungie, which I assume is a team of people, just absolutely knows how to get you hyped up. And the music is great, too. So, you know, it's got me excited. Now it just basically remains to be seen, can they deliver?
I tell you, I will play trailer trials just to have Saint 14 call matches. Like, I will get my butt kicked on the regular just to have him tell me how bad it's going. Like that. Wow.
So him saying, "What was it? Was it break them?"
Yeah,
that was epic. I'm listening to it right now. Wreck them and break them was like, I literally got goosebumps watching that part of the trailer. I was like, he's the perfect announcer.
He is.
For this type of
thing. And then you've got the random like pigeon noise in the background.
Yeah, the Birdman coup kind of, from like back when Lil Wayne was famous.
Give you the levity there to break the tension. That'll be good. That'll be good during trials matches. You can only stay tense for so long, and I think those pigeon coups are going to take the edge off.
No, I was saying that I'm actually looking forward to trials, because the first three matches should be like, because they're connection based, like should be easier as far as things go. And it's like, it's going to be the first time in a long time that I'll be able to play easy matches on my actual main account. Like I went into classic mix today and immediately got matched versus six stack that was farming. So I just quit, went into control, like three Unbrokens on the other team, just Not Forgottens, Deathstroke Blues. It was like, okay, just got my ass kicked. Like, I was like, every single game I play, no matter where I go to play, is this. Trial should hopefully have a big enough population.
Yeah.
And because it's connection-based matchmaking and card-based, if they do card-based the way they did it in D1, it will be in tiers, right? Where it's like the first three matches, you're just lumped in the main pool. And then when you hit more than three matches, it puts you in the next pool. And then when you hit more than seven matches, it puts you in the next pool, right? So if they do it that way, I might actually be able to enjoy some games on the weekends for the first time. So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, I mean, not to mention, you're right, Saint 14 just sounds like the most badass announcer ever.
He's so good. And oh, a point to make is that this is, in fact, Trials of Osiris returning and not Trials of the Nine. So it is seven wins to get to the Lighthouse, not any more than that. I know with boons and stuff, it's never been like, and since, aside from like maybe the very beginning, it's never really been like needing to get the full number of anything, but just, I guess point that out. Seven in a row gets you to the Lighthouse. They've made no mention of any kind of boons or anything like that. Remains to be seen, of course, in the game what that how that's gonna work, but you do get loot just for winning. Multiple it says multiple wins in a row earns pinnacle gear. So just if you can get any kind of a streak going, you'll get something out of it, which is nice. Right, it at least opens up the possibility that if you're on a fire team and you're like, well, we're not going to make it to seven, but maybe we can make it to three. Maybe we can make it to four.
So that was one of the, I'm trying to think. There were multiple ideas that were tossed around when I was there about how you could make trials more accessible without making it no longer have like a an aspirational goal, right? And one of the things we said was that you'd do away with the card system and it would just be based on win streaks, and that was it,
I think
right?
that's great. Like that's, if that's all it is, like that's just it's sort of like one less thing for me to look at and keep track of. Like it can just tell me what my win streak is in between matches or while I'm loading in, and that's really all I care about, right?
Yeah. And what it helps is that it stops you from feeling like you necessarily wasted time,
Yeah.
because the very next game after a loss matters because you're starting a new win streak, right? You know? So it's like it kind of sucked with trials because it was like if you got to seven wins and then you lost, it was like you were like, well, fuck. Right? Because the end goal was to try to go flawless in a certain way. Right, and it, you felt like when you lost that thing that it was like, well, now I have to go all the way back to the beginning. It's kind of the same way with win streaks, but at the same time, it's like, man, it's not as bad. You don't have to go get a new card. There's not like the embarrassment of like ripping up a card and being done. Like it just starts over
Yeah.
again, you know? And you just keep playing. You don't have to go back to Brother Vance or go back to Osiris and buy all the boons again and like.
That was always a big obstacle to continuing to play, to be honest. So I'm glad that they've streamlined the experience and taken out some of those things that made it annoying to play Trials.
It was like Nightfalls when they used to kick you back to orbit as opposed to just restarting the strike, right? Like kicking you back to orbit, when you got kicked back to orbit, you were like likely to quit. You were done. Just the fact that you had to go back to orbit and then reload back into the strike was like a huge bummer. But if it just restarted the strike, it's kind of like, oh, well, let's go again,
Yeah.
right? You know what I'm saying? Like even though it has the same effect, I feel like the mental effect is totally different.
Yeah.
But the end effect of no, well, this is what happens, you still have to get seven wins is the exact same. Just like in Nightfalls, it's like, no, you still have to beat it without everyone dying, but it just doesn't feel like it sucks as hard.
Yeah. There's still that push to play perfectly, to not make those mistakes, but yeah, again, like you said, like it takes the sting out of failing, and it gives you that drive to just try again,
Or a little bit of
for a
the
little
sting,
bit, yeah,
not
not all
failing at
of it.
least.
It still stings. So that's really exciting. Season of the Worthy in general is really exciting. But before we dive into that,
Yeah, I was gonna say we should probably we have housekeeping number one because we do have a new iTunes review. And let me go ahead and get that out of the way, and then we'll briefly touch on the director's cut. Probably not so briefly touch on some of the things that he brings up. I mean, I definitely disagree with some of the stuff that's in there, but I agree with some of the stuff too. So we'll talk about that. But first off, the iTunes review, great podcast, great reviews, 5 stars from Sirius McDougall. If you will remember, this is the guy who sent us the message on Discord that I had forgotten
Oh,
to read,
yeah.
and then I remembered to read it, and I read it out, and I guess he appreciated it so much that he went and made an Apple Podcast account to give us a 5-star review. So he's getting read twice on air. He says, "Mercury is a Kit Kat chip and a staple of my morning commute for the greater part of 2 years now. If you play this game, eventually you will come across a big, crazy spreadsheet showing detailed numbers of guns with the ever-so-hot TTK value, and these are the geniuses behind it. As a newlywed adult with little gaming time, they maximize what little time I have to play within the game. I constantly recommend to my friends and clanmates to listen to this podcast. I greatly appreciate their hard work in keeping this going, and I look forward to the episodes to come. Thanks again, Merc and Kit Kutcha. Drink beer, blow stuff up, and keep the breakdowns coming. I can guarantee you that all three of
Yeah.
those things will happen.
Can
No, I don't
confirm.
plan to stop the breakdowns. Yeah, I don't plan to stop drinking beer, and I don't plan to stop playing games where I blow stuff up. So thank you very much, Sirius McDougall, for the 5-star review. Remember, guys, if you want to have your review read out loud, all you gotta do is leave a review on Apple Podcasts. It doesn't have to be 5 stars, but we do appreciate the 5-star reviews. They help us out a whole lot. Either way, we will read it and respond to you and offer you a personal thank you. So that is the housekeeping for this week. The not housekeeping is the director's cut that Lute Smith brought out.
Hold up, real quick. We gotta throw a very important thank you to ZenSoCal for the sponsorship he's provided the podcast, and thank you to all of our patrons. A few of you can expect to receive some messages from me, just confirming that I'm reading the patron rewards orders correctly. Make sure that I've got that all squared away, and I expect to have that stuff shipped on its way to me here, towards the later half of the week. So that's all. That's that. Let's talk about the director's cut.
Yeah, we do have 15 of those whiskey glasses to send out, which are pretty neat. And a couple coming to each of us because we want
Yeah.
some too. Because obviously anything that we make for the patrons, we also are really making because we think it's cool and we want, to share it. So yeah, Director's Cut, he's got a long ass introduction. He talks about he reiterates some of the stuff he said last time about the annual pass was just basically unsustainable, in terms of how much it took out of the team to build it, and that was with them having High Moon and Vicarious Visions. So he says that they had to look at how things are going to change. He says they're no longer worried about will Bungie survive the transition to being an independent studio. They now know that they will, but it's where can Destiny go? How can we get there? They talk about, see, this is what I'm saying, where he talks a lot, but doesn't actually say a ton. He talks about, like, we need aspiration. We need aspirational content. It's something that everyone can do. And he talks a lot about needing aspirational content. But then he doesn't really talk about the aspirational content that they're going to put in the game. Trials is obviously the PvP aspirational content, but that was kind of unsaid.
I feel like that whole section is aspirational content in a way. He's aspiring to create aspiration in so many words. I mean, all the interesting stuff for me is really at the end, right? Like there's the obviously the forever weapons slash weapon lifespans section. He's got some quick hits at the end that I think are really worth taking note of, but I mean, like you said, like it's worth reading, but like most of it is only worth reading once.
No, there's some things that he points out that he says worked well that we can now, because he says they worked well, assume they're going to continue to be part of Destiny, right? So he says the seasonal narrative's starting to connect to each other. The community getting involved by the Fractaline donation type thing. He thought those things worked well. The Save a Legend element of Season of the Dawn, bringing back Saint 14, worked well. And the simplicity of Destiny's version of a Battle Pass worked well. I've been on board with saying that I think that there should be a third tier of the Battle Pass that would have all of the Eververse content on it for a season, and maybe you have to pay like $30 or some shit for it, and then you have to grind it to unlock it. I would 100% do that. Like, I know that that's probably a lot of money and that's out of most people's price range, but like, I would 100% do that because I hate Eververse the way it is now. But the Battle Pass itself, I don't really mind. I think it's fun. I think it's nice. It keeps track. It gives you something to shoot for. I mean, I'm gonna hit 100 this season, which I didn't last season, which I'm happy about. So I'm not upset about that stuff. But then he kind of meanders on and talks about core activities and how they need to be more rewarding and how they're going to move away from seasonal activities because they kind of conflict directly with core activities in terms of they're pulling focus away from things like strikes and crucible to events that only last for a couple of months and they disappear. Which, okay. I mean, I kind of understand that. I don't know that I necessarily agree with it because it was also their choice to make that stuff disappear and not make it a core activity, right? I mean, we've talked in other podcasts about how you could set these things up to be core activities and like Strikes and like Crucible, maybe have a playlist where it matches you into these core activities and maybe it cycles through one core activity each day so the population stays up, or maybe they're all made in public bubbles so that people can always fill into them naturally as well as through matchmaking, right? Like, I feel like there are a lot of ways that it could be done to where they don't necessarily have to be moving away, but correct me if I'm wrong, did you, the activities that they showed in the Season of the Worthy trailer, it was a public event, wasn't it? And then a modification of the Lost Sector was the other one, the Warmind Bunkers.
So there, I mean, and this maybe you might not have had a chance to look over the calendar in detail yet, but there's a whole bunch of stuff coming on the calendar that I think maybe we should get into later.
Yeah, we can talk about that when we talk about Season of the Worthy. But that's the thing is what I'm trying to say is I didn't see something like Sundial that was going to be in the Season of the Worthy. Did
Correct.
you? I saw a new public event and something else. So we'll talk about that when we get there. But that's interesting. And I'm not 100% off board with it if that's the path they decide to take. Because I do feel like, and I've said this a million times, I feel like you need to establish a good foundation, before you start building stuff on top of it. And Luke is correct that the core activities have been neglected for a long time. In particular, Crucible has been neglected for a long time. And if this season, them not doing a six-player match made activity that's new means that they can focus on bringing Strikes and Crucible up to, up to snuff, and then maybe next season they start to focus on, I'm on board with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we're gonna see, and we'll talk about that this again more later, but what we're really seeing out of Season of the Worthy is refresh, kind of taking sort of a refresh approach on Crucible, on Strikes in the form of Nightfalls, and on Patrol in the form of public events, Lost Sectors, Seraph Bunkers. Like there's What they're really doing is they're just taking all of the stuff that's already in the game and they're just giving it a facelift and giving it some new content, some new enemies, some new connections to the story. And kind of in a nutshell, like he's basically in the director's cut, he's spelled out exactly what their plan is for Season of the Worthy. Which I think is cool. Like it's nice that at least that there's some consistency. He clearly He clearly wasn't skipping meetings, I suppose. But yeah, there we don't see really anything purely new in terms of like a type of activity in Season of the Worthy. And honestly, like I'm totally fine with that. In a way, I'm actually relieved that that's the case. If that makes sense. I feel like I'm getting off track onto Season of the Worthy stuff here again.
We're going to talk about Season of the Worthy anyway, so it doesn't matter if we get there sooner or later. We'll circle back around. We always do. But I mean, I don't know if said I'm bored of these wave-based activities anyways, and I have been. I've, never been a huge fan. I understand the importance of having these for the type of player who likes that content. But Christ, it's been like 7 seasons in a row with one of these things.
Yeah.
Like, I would kill for a vendor refresh, right? Which actually gets into one of the other points down at the bottom. And I think we should skip the weapon sunsetting thing and come back to that at the end once we've talked about his shortcuts at the bottom,
Yeah,
just so that we can get those
for
out of the
sure.
way. Because this ties into it. He says faction rallies is not coming back, but they're going to take the faction some of the faction weapons and armor and put them into the legendary loot pool. My issue is like, how hard would it be to just give the faction guns to the vendors, the faction vendors that are already there in the tower, and just lets you select a faction that you then level up the same way you level up Crucible or anything else like that, right? Like, how hard would it be to just go back to the D1 style of
Yeah.
factions, which everybody enjoyed, which gave an additional avenue to grind, which was fun? Like, this is the core stuff that I feel like has been ignored, right? Like, we need vendor refreshes. We need some type of additional just passive content to grind, right? Like, those factions are little mini battle passes, each one of them, right? Like, as you level them up, you unlock more weapons, you unlock more armor, you unlock more shaders, you unlock all the stuff. They should just put all that back into the game, and all you gotta do is select a faction, and at the end of the game, it gives you faction tokens, right? Like, it doesn't have to be faction rallies, it could just be factions like it was in D1. I'm glad we're getting some of the stuff back, but it's still frustrating.
I 100% agree. Like, I still occasionally see people on Twitter be like, "Oh, it's all recycled content, blah blah blah." And I'm like, "Dude, please recycle more content because there's so much stuff that was good. Like, I'm fine playing a game that is in many ways the same game that I was playing then, but just with more new stuff because Destiny 2 has a lot of stuff that Destiny 1 didn't. But I still like most of what was in Destiny 1." I don't want them reinventing the wheel all the time if they don't have to. They can give us things to do, like faction ranks. Like, that's all it has to be. It doesn't, like you said, doesn't need to be complicated. It doesn't need to be a big deal. So I don't know. I mean, they comment that the reward gear hasn't been used that much, but in fairness, it was all year one gear. So,
Yeah.
like, no, I am not using it now. I still have several of my weapons from all of the factions, actually. I kept some of the weapons in my vault. But, like, no, I'm not really using them. I don't know why I'm keeping them, other than that I don't want to delete them, basically. So, yeah, I don't know. Shortcut number two, bright engrams. Going away is purchasable items.
As if a single person on Earth cares. I mean, so they kind of bury the lead here. No more loot boxes is what they're saying,
Exactly.
right?
Yep.
No more purchasable loot boxes, which is good. What isn't good is that Eververse still sucks major ass in general right now compared to how good we had it pre-Forsake or not pre-Forsaken, pre-Shadowkeep. I mean, I guess it was pre-Season of Opulence. Was that when they changed it at the end of Season of the Drifter? They started making changes to it. But I mean, it used to be where I actually cared about getting engrams because anything that I got that I didn't want, I would dismantle and I would get Bright Dust and I could use that to buy the stuff that I didn't want, man. I actually loved Eververse. Eververse right now, I ignore. Completely and totally ignore, except for Tuesday, my first login, where I check to see if there's a weapon ornament for sale for Bright Dust. If there is, I buy it. And if there's not, I ignore it for the entire rest of the time. I don't care anything about what I get from those, what are they called? Fond Engrams or whatever. Fond Memories Engrams or
Yeah,
like.
whatever the seasonal name is for the Eververse Engram.
Yeah, it's like I've literally never once gotten anything I care about those from those. And even the stuff that I get from them, dismantling it is useless because it gives me shards and I don't need that shit. So I like, and literally, I don't remember the last time I remember what I got from one of those Engrams or caring about what I got.
I mean, so I'll get some like some emotes that I like from them periodically, but I mean, other than that, like, I don't, and I've said this a million times on the podcast, I don't care about the cosmetic items. That's I don't play Destiny so that I can have the coolest looking guardian. I
That's bold of you to say, Kush, because there are a lot of people out there who do play
it
Destiny
is I'm
to have the coolest looking
they
Guardian.
do, and I hope that they find joy. Destiny, I think Destiny, it, to a certain extent, is a game that you play when you have time to play it. And in the meantime, I don't really have the time to play that I used to. I used to care about getting a full set, of the faction armor and the raid armor and and specifically wearing those full sets, but also in some cases having a full set of certain kinds of armor mattered. And it doesn't really now that much. I mean, you can optimize into the seasonal events, but we aren't going to have another seasonal event in Season of the Worthy, so I guess I.
We have well, I guess it's not a seasonal
I
event.
mean,
I was thinking of the Guardian Games or whatever it is that they're calling it, but I don't actually know what
yeah, I
that
mean,
is.
there are several things going on in the season, and it's entirely likely that some of the armor is going to be, kind of geared toward that. But I think it's more likely that it'll be mods that are geared toward that stuff, and I can put that into the armor that I already have and like. So for me, it's not that big a deal. A lot of people I know do care about the cosmetics, both the cosmetics you get from play and the cosmetics that you can buy. And it's and unfortunately, it's hard for me to really address those people's concerns because that's just not why I play. I play because I enjoy the challenge, and because I find it to be mentally stimulating, but at the same time relaxing. And so that's kind of where I come from. So for me, this was like, well, okay, no more loot boxes. That's a good thing.
Not too much else to be said about it. So then the next thing he talks about is that they're redoing the beginning to New Light, which
That's excellent.
maybe, yeah, it's great, it's needed, but it may be too little too late, right? Like, how many players are, I mean, new players will discover the game and this will help them, but they missed out on having the New Light experience suck when the game first went free to play,
Yeah.
right? Like, so many people that I know joined the game, had no idea what was going on and quit because they didn't really do a good job of sinking the hooks into new players, right?
Yeah, I think they fumbled big time.
Yeah, and I'm glad that they're doing it. Maybe it will help them out if Destiny 3 or whatever is free to play to start. But for right now, it doesn't, help a ton. But it doesn't hurt. And then number four, the quest log. They're changing the quest log. They're making it to where there's categorization and all quests are automatically assigned a category and then it buckets them. For example, all exotics get their own category along with seasonals. I'm pretty happy with that. I've thought for a while that it needed better organization, so I'm very happy to hear that it will categorize things.
I want to say that while I am happy that they are categorizing it, I wish they would just let me manually order them and then save that, because I do find it frustrating right now using this sort and trying to find all the quests that I want to work on at a given time. And I feel like while these categories will probably be somewhat helpful, they probably also won't fully organize the quests in the manner that I want to organize them, because I organize them based on optimization, right? I sort them so what quests can I work on simultaneously? And like that's mentally how I sort them. And unfortunately, I can't physically in the game sort them that way. And I have a feeling these categories aren't going to help me. So for me, the quest log changes show me that they're thinking about the right thing, but I think that they are not really ultimately going to be better. So maybe I'm the
Well, I mean,
only.
it'll probably be better. It will probably be better because more categorization is better than less categorization, is the way I look at it. It's not going to be as good as custom categorization, but.
I mean, it's possible. It depends on how it, what it looks like. But I honestly feel like it's possible that it could be worse because it could mean more flipping through pages for me.
Oh, I would imagine that it's not like that. I would imagine that they have the same pages, but they're now subdivided into categories, right? So it's still maybe two pages that you view, but the first one, I mean, like imagine they've got three columns and it's like exotic quest, seasonal quest, and something else. You know how they have bounties over on the right side and then quest over on the left?
Yeah.
Like imagine that that's four columns now instead of one fat column and one skinny column. It's four skinny columns, and it's just like exotic quest, seasonal quest, pinnacle quest, bounties. Like, I would like to see that,
Yeah.
right? Because then it clearly defines to me, like, all my exotics are over here, all my seasonals, which go away, are right here, all my pinnacles are right here. Like, because right now it's not like that. Right now it's like exotic, pinnacle, seasonal, exotic, bounty. Like, they're all just stacked up next to each other. And
I agree. Right now, it's pretty bad. I hope that this, I hope that my skepticism is not justified and that this is going to be awesome. And maybe, maybe in 2 weeks here I eat my words. Which honestly would be great. I love for them to just n to nail this because it is something that for me, every time I play, it's a frustration. So, it's one of those little things that like I never really think to complain about unless I was writing a really thorough review of the game. But if we're gonna talk about it, like it is frustrating. And yeah, so fingers crossed they nail it. I'm concerned that they won't, but what else is there to
We'll see how it
say?
goes. All right, so then the big thing forever, the big thing forever. The big thing we need to talk about, I was about to read the title, is Weapons Forever the Problem, right? So basically the moral of the story is that legendaries can no longer be unlimited and fused up. They will have limits on them. It seems like they may be changing the way that light works outside of in-game activities to make it basically meaningless in everything that's not an in-game activity. So that you can use your weapons that you can't infuse up, but still do just fine in Lost Sectors and Patrol and Standard Crucible and everything. However, in things like raids and trials, you'll need the most current season's weapons if you want the ultimate edge, right? So my problem with this is that no matter how you slice it, I don't feel that forcibly stopping players from using the gun they really want to use is an inherently good motivator. I think you end up losing more players who say, "Oh, I can't use my favorite gun anymore. I'm not going to play," than you do motivate players to play aspirational content to get a new gun to replace their favorite gun, right? My thing is that we already had a better system than this in Destiny that promoted weapon diversity. And it was the system where you it was a House of Wolves, and it was what were those things called? They were like ascendant somethings, ascendant energy or something, and you got one and you it immediately infused your gun up to max level, right? But they only came from in-game content like trials and raids and nightfalls, and that was the only place it dropped from. So it's like we already had that system. If you really want to promote weapon diversity and get players to try new guns, you make it to where previous season's guns can only be infused using that material, and that material is only available from the end game, right? And then, as soon as a new season starts, they'll leave those guns behind. They'll use new guns until they get to the end game. It will give them a reason to play the end game. They'll get that reward, and then they'll be able to go back and they'll be able to bring their guns up that they actually like to the newest level, right? And they'll have to leave them behind for a little bit, but not forever. That system to me is so much better. It promotes using new weapons and it promotes aspirational content, but it doesn't piss people off who really want to use their better devils that they've had since year one.
So I definitely see where you're coming from on this. And I think so I guess how do I want to say this? To a certain extent, I think there's room for that down the line. And certainly Bungie has shown very recently a strong willingness to hear player feedback, and if there's a large number of people who ultimately find this upsetting, I think that they will make changes. But I mean, the Magic the Gathering analogy is a very accurate one in this case, in terms of like the sheer number and complexity of options that we have right now. And yet, so many of those are, to a certain extent, kind of redundant, right? Like, we talk about this when we're reviewing weapons. How many hand cannons are there that people are actually going to use? Not a significant number. And that's because they're all available all the time, and they aren't all created equal. So I get where they're coming from. They want to stop worrying about balancing against every old thing forever, they want to focus on balancing just the latest and greatest. And that, you know, I understand where you're coming from, that it is going to upset some people. But I think that they may get away with it, and I don't say get away with it in a bad sense, but they may avoid some of the negative consequences by giving people this lead time. You know, if they say, well, you know, you're going to have to stop using that Better Devils, but you've got two more seasons. It's not immediate. So while it may be like, oh, that sucks, on the other hand, it's like, well, but it's not going to happen today. And so it kind of, you know, kind of sits on the back burner for a while, and eventually, like, oh, it's, you know, it's getting close. I'm not going to be able to keep leveling this up. I'm gonna have to find something else that I like. And then probably they do find something else that they like just as much, because Better Devils is overrated and always was. Bite me, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it's a compromise. It's a fair compromise. They're basically saying, 3 to 5 seasons is how long a gun should last from start to finish, right? And, that's better than every season retiring stuff. I will 100% say this, but.
Yeah. The very old way of leaving everything behind every time a new content drop came out. You know, there was a big reason that they brought in that infusion, essentially, in House of Wolves, and that became kind of the, over time has become, I should say, the default kind of way of managing guns, that people don't like leaving their favorite weapons behind. And so I think what is going to happen here probably is that this is going to go into effect. And in a couple of seasons, a bunch of people are going to get upset because they're going to realize that they're losing access to some weapon that not only do they love, but happens to be meta. And there's going to be some kind of outcry, and Bungie will offer some kind of solution, possibly similar to the one, you know, that you described before. And you know, I think that may be the case. On the other hand, how many more seasons are really left in Destiny 2? You know,
Probably six, hopefully. Hopefully, no more than that.
that's a question that I think is worth bearing in mind for anybody who might be annoyed by this system. That, you know, realistically speaking, you know, a lot of us are going to be getting pushed to buy a new console within the next 24 months. I know it's, you know, as it did with PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, Xbox One, and Xbox, it's gonna be a slow migration of the player bases, but like, you know, if Bungie's building for these new systems, as they would have to be at this point, as they would be insane not to be, that game's not gonna be playable on the current gen. Like it's gonna be, or if it is, it's gonna be a real shit show. So, you know, I know you probably know some things that you can't talk about, so I'm not gonna drag that out. But the point is, like, I don't feel like the sting here is as big as a few people have made it out to be, and I think ultimately the vast majority of players are just going to shrug, and eventually we'll all move on. You know, so that's I guess that's the way I see it. Maybe this puts us in opposition for like the third time in the history of the podcast.
Well, it's not specific to the infusion thing. It's more that he talks about looking back fondly on certain things that were in the past, right? Like Luke looks back fondly on a pre-infusion time where weapons could be OP because they would fall out of the sandbox in 3 months and it was okay, right? And he looks back fondly on a time where the Vault of Glass, it maybe took you a lot of time to get a Fatebringer, right? But he looks back fondly on that time. My belief is through rose-tinted glasses. It sucked ass to play Vault of Glass 30 times and not get what you wanted. Just like it sucks ass right now to play Scourge of the Past and not get Anarchy, right? Like, those systems aren't fun. They're not fun.
Sure.
They fuck players, and the fact that you don't get what you want makes it so much more exciting when you finally do. But that doesn't mean that it was fun for players. Nobody should have to play a raid in this game more than 10 times to get everything out of it, right? Like, it's insane to me that is even a time that could be looked back on fondly. Forever 29 was not fun for people who were Forever 29. It sucked. And yeah, there was a huge sense of relief, but it's like someone was twisting your arm and then stopped, right? Like, yeah, it feels great when they stop doing that, but it wasn't fun the entire time. There is a point where you start taking things away from players to make things, because you're trying to push a certain feeling onto players, right? And my worry is that we will move backwards, back to the point where it's like, oh yeah, it's more hardcore. Your weapons only last for a couple seasons, then you have to find a new one whether you want to or not. Oh, you aren't going to get everything you want from this raid. Well, if I'm not going to get everything I want from this raid, I'm not going to play the freaking raid. You know what? And if they're going to say, okay, well, that's fine, the raid weapons aren't for everyone, that's stupid. You're alienating players. Like, Destiny got away with being an FPS MMO because it was an MMO that you could actually do everything in. It wasn't an MMO like World of Warcraft where only the hardcore of the hardcore got stuff. It was an MMO where anyone who had a reasonable amount of time, not an insane amount of time, a reasonable amount of time, could basically get everything in the game. There were a couple very, 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 very small things they couldn't get, like flawless raid completions, like going flawless in trials, right? It was pretty much flawless stuff. Flawless stuff was reserved for the best of the best. But what was tied to that was like ornaments, an achievement, right? Like nothing real crazy. Nothing gameplay affecting for the most part. I don't like the idea that he is looking back fondly on these times, and he sounds like he is beginning a shift that is at the moment not tremendously hurtful, right? But it's a step backwards to me that doesn't need to be a step backwards because the same goal could be achieved. If his stated goals could be achieved without doing that, and like his whole idea, like, we've got to test everything backwards compatible. Dude, you don't have to test Better Devils backwards compatible or forwards compatible. It's a fucking legendary hand cannon with no unique perks on it, right? Like, it's going to work. It's always going to work. It's a legendary hand cannon. It has Kill Clip Outlaw. If you add in a new 150 or 140 RPM legendary hand cannon with Kill Clip Outlaw, it's going to do the same thing as Better Devils did, right? And the stuff that they're worried about having to test, like Recluse, like Luna's Howl, like Not Forgotten, that are pinnacle weapons, they're not doing pinnacle weapons anymore. So you don't have to do that. And the fact of the matter is, they didn't work in the season they came out because they were broken in that season. Right? Like, make a gun that's balanced in the sandbox when it comes out, and you're not gonna have to worry about the stuff in the future. If you continually make guns that are broken, that's not healthy either. Saying it's okay that it's broken because it only lasts for 3 months, that's still not fun. I don't wanna have to play against Not Forgotten at its peak for 3 months because their solution is, oh, it's okay, it's gonna go away at the end of the season. That still makes my experience worse during that season, right? And he's basically using the excuse, and I respect Luke a lot, and I agree with a lot of what Luke says in general. This is one area I'm not going to agree with him, and I disagreed with him while I was at Bungie and had these arguments with him. One of the last lunches I went out to with him was us talking about this, right? Like, I don't agree that you can take shortcuts in sandbox design and in reward design because you're using the excuse, well, it's not going to be here forever, so it's okay if it's a little broken. I personally am of the belief that that's not, I am always of the belief that you build a solid foundation and then everything else just works out on top of it, right? They're basically saying it's okay to build these shitty ass foundations because they're going to be gone anyways, because we're going to tear the whole thing down every 3 months, right? It's like, you don't have to do that. You could not do that. But, you know, it takes more work, and it's much easier to be like, well, it doesn't matter if it releases busted because it'll be gone in 3 months.
I mean, I definitely understand where you're coming from. And there is absolutely a risk that that is what will end up happening. I don't think that's quite. I think that's a little bit of a slippery slope down from where he's maybe aiming. Although, again, I haven't had a conversation with the man. I'm going off of what I'm reading here, you know. So I may be absolutely wrong about that. I get the impression, at least, that he is aiming for a situation in which they can make things that are maybe a little bit stronger, that might come from raids or trials, but that aren't, you know, Recluse, for example. Because he does specifically call out that, you know, Recluse was an example of a weapon that was just ridiculously overpowered. And stayed that way for an unfortunate amount of time.
My thing was, we all knew Recluse was going to be overpowered when we saw what the perk did, right? Like it, and here's my problem, is that it didn't take the community long to figure out it was hilariously overpowered. It took one person saying, oh my god, it does 30 damage per body shot after a kill, and everybody knew it was OP. Just like everybody knew that Not Forgotten was going to be really good, just like everybody knew that Luna's Howl was going to be really good. Just, I mean, it's not super difficult to figure out these things are going to be too good. In fact, I would say it's really, really, really predictable. And his exact words are, the weapons in the Vault of Glass could be powerful, unique, and rare. I'm skipping some stuff. I miss those days when rewards were rare and so special. That's in part because the design of the game gave them space to be different, space to be awesome. It's hard to cleave out that space in the current version of Destiny 2. Weapons that are supposed to come from pinnacle activities like raids or trials don't really have space to breathe. The answer can't be just make them better, because that approach ends up with the Reckoning situation, and it ends up with things like Recluse, right? But what they're basically going to say is that no, it's okay if we make stuff powerful, unique, and rare, because then it just goes away anyways, right? So here's my thing, right? So the Vault of Glass weapon, if it's rare, if it's Fatebringer rare, but it's also going to be gone in 3 seasons, so less than a year, right, of you using it. If it really is as rare as Fatebringer, to where it could take you 50 raid completions to do it, and then you get it, and then 2 weeks from that, it's useless. Is that aspirational?
So, as somebody who never got Fatebringer, you know, obviously the answer to that is no, but again, that's a little bit of a straw man in that I don't think he's saying we're gonna make them Vault of Glass, or I hope, you know, that he doesn't. Because if they do, you know, if we get another Anarchy, I'm never gonna get it, and neither is 99% of the player base. And it's gonna be a failure. And you know, my hope is that they're aiming for the best parts of that experience while learning from the obvious mistakes that have been made. Many and again obvious as they are, at least us from the outside. Certainly they've given us plenty to predict and talk about on this podcast. I think our track record in predicting what weapons will be OP is really good. Although they haven't made it all that hard for the most part. But
Yeah, like I predict Revoker in this upcoming meta is going to be a huge pain in the ass to deal with. It's going to suck. It already sucks now at high level. It's going to really suck when shotguns and fusions are worse.
yeah, I'm definitely glad that I've sharpened my sniping skills, because I have a feeling I might be sniping more. But that said, you know, what I'd like to see, honestly, I'd love to see weapons coming from the raid that are on the level of the Vault of Glass weapons in quality. Because the weapons that came out of Vault of Glass really weren't like overpowered per se. They just had solid roles. They didn't have like anything crazy, anything really unique. They were just solid all the way through. They felt good. They had good perks. And that was sort of what made them good, is that a lot of the guns in Destiny were like two quarters good or three quarters good, but like not all good. But they weren't insane. You could certainly just leave them on all the time, and that was fine, and a lot of people did, but you often found reasons not to. And I had, I think, almost everything except Fatebringer. So I feel like I had a pretty good level of experience using those weapons over the life of Destiny. So I hope that's what they go for. I'd love to see weapons in the raid that just have 4 out of 4 great perks. Like that's all they really need to be aspirational. They don't need unique perks even. They just need to have a perfect role, and that you just get it when you get the gun. That's all they need,
Hell.
and boom, it's good. It's chase worthy. People will run the raid just to get that, who otherwise would not.
But the reason that that worked in Vanilla D1 is because legendaries were so hard to get outside of the
They
raid,
were.
right? That your chance of getting a God Roll legendary outside of the raid was almost zero. You were just happy to get a legendary at all. I remember playing for months and just hoping to get a legendary sniper rifle. Didn't care which one. Literally didn't even care which one. I just needed a legendary sniper rifle because I didn't have one. Right? And like that's why the raid worked so well there, because the loot pool was smaller, and even though the drops were rare, it was still a better chance than anything else you were going to do, short of just buying from a vendor.
Yeah, the legendary term has certainly lost its power since those days.
Yeah, now one run of Sundial gets you 8 legendary weapons,
Yeah.
right? And you have the opportunity to donate Fractalion to God Roll. Like, that's why just making a God Roll a raid weapon doesn't help anymore, because I can go get, a dozen God Rolls in a day from the Obelisk.
I mean that's you're not wrong, but maybe that's why the obelisk needs to go away.
Yeah, and it will, and well.
Because while I do appreciate like the ease of farming it, I can't I have to admit that there were times when I thought, man, I just played for like 30 minutes and I'm getting how many, like, this is a lot, like. They did this on purpose. All right. It was a little over the top, and I appreciated that. It was motivating to play it, certainly, but like, on the other hand, I get where he was saying that it was also distracting from the other things that I could have been playing, the core activities that they, probably put far more man hours into building and were being neglected as a result. So, I don't know. It's a complicated subject.
And somehow we've talked for like 20 minutes about it, and we really need to get to the Season of the Worthy stuff, or else I'm gonna die trying to edit this podcast tonight before I go on a flight tomorrow morning.
Let's do it. Let's call it right there with it's a complicated subject.
Yeah. Anyways, Season of the Worthy story, spoilers ahead, but I'm assuming everyone watched the reveal trailer. The Almighty has been sent on a collision course to the last city. Apparently, the Scion who was controlling it was very, very precise with his controls. And then they disabled the engine so that it is now drifting through space. And it is so large that apparently there is no way that we can push it out of the way. And the only person who can stop it is Rasputin. So Zavala and Annabre are in there killing some Cabal, listening to some good music, and it's basically telling us that we have to go reawaken the Warmind again. I assume what it means is we have to reawaken his entire network, because we did already reawaken the Warmind.
Right.
And he yelled at us in Russian, which is nice that he's Russian, because Saint 14's also Russian. I can only assume that they're friends or allies.
Probably going to be useful.
And I mean, it's a neat little story. I mean, I gotta admit, I'm more interested in this story than a lot of the other stories that they've tried to bring in for a season, so.
So basically, we need to put together a ragtag team and go plant a Gjallarhorn on the Almighty in order to blow it up. No, yeah, I mean I'm excited. I've been for the whole of Destiny, I have always looked forward to storyline that involves Rasputin. He's always been such an enigmatic character. And we do here, I think at last, really get to see possibly some kind of glimpse of the full power of the Warmind, even after all of these centuries of neglect. Basically, so we've got some new stuff coming out Warmind wise. In terms of activities, there are two things. So there's the Seraph Tower event, which is a new PvE activity where we have to go and awaken these Warmind towers that are, in various places around the solar system. And then we've also got Seraph bunkers that will be getting opened up. And Cosmo did clarify on Reddit that the Seraph bunkers and the legendary lost sectors are apparently not the same thing. And I want to find the exact quote because apparently I closed it somehow.
And if you'll notice in the trailer, it actually shows something interesting. It shows a Warmind robot type thing firing a shot off of its back. So I don't know if that's a new enemy type or a new ally type or a new boss from something, be it a public event or a bunker or anything, but it is completely and totally unique to anything we've ever seen before. So, I'm actually kind of surprised more people aren't talking about that. We haven't gotten a new enemy in Destiny in ages.
To me it looks like it's firing a javelin. As in like the weapon that we got from Anna Bray back in the day. So it looks like it's like some kind of like javelin frame. Which calls us back to Saladin in Rise of Iron talking about how the Warmind called up like frames and stuff that he's never seen before or since to defend its bunkers when they were going after Siva. And that actually most of the Iron Lords were killed by Rasputin before they ever got to Siva. Because
All
if you
right,
remember that,
so maybe we'll actually start to get some of that.
I mean there were hundreds of Iron Lords and like there were like the nine most badass or the seven most badass, however many there were, are the ones who made it to Siva. And literally all the rest of them were just murdered by Rasputin and his robot army. So that's something to look forward to.
Just reminds me of what a bunch of scrubs everyone except for us apparently is in the Guardian world. We keep hearing about how badass all these people are, but yet we go and solo flawless the thing that killed apparently hundreds of them. So I find myself questioning their actual skills. But on an unrelated note, it does show three exotic weapons. They only talk specifically about two, but there's a glimpse of a third one during the trailer. So there's Tommy's Matchbook, which is a Tommy gun looking auto rifle. With a drum magazine that looks quite nice. Then, at 58 seconds in the Season of the Worthy trailer, there's what appears to be a Cabal heavy slug thrower machine gun. So, if you'll notice, the Centurions have that slug thrower that they hold that fires solar rounds, and it looks like you actually get one of those as an exotic weapon now, which is something that I haven't seen mentioned anywhere else. And then, immediately following that, we see that, of course, the Fourth Horseman, the Four Horsemen is coming back. Which is the four-barreled full-auto shotgun from D1, which was interesting for a time, although never truly the greatest shotgun in the world. At least it was a very cool one and kind of a fan favorite, so.
Yeah, yep, and I found the quote here. Yeah, Cosmo did confirm that we are getting both Seraph bunkers and the legendary lost sectors and that they are not the same thing. So that's exciting. I'm very happy to see the updates to kind of the patrol sectors because patrol aside from like obviously we got the moon, which was cool, but like just patrol in general hasn't really seen a major overhaul in quite a while. So My hope here is that we get some stuff that is going to stick around permanently, at least in the form of legendary lost sectors, that's going to give us some higher level content out in the world. Because that's something that I enjoy doing from time to time, is just going and just kind of running around and killing stuff and getting loot and doing public events. Like it's very kind of relaxing to be able to do that. And at the same time, like, it loses some of its appeal. I can only kill the guy hiding underneath the church so many times before I just start feeling bad for him.
Yeah, I've long thought that there should be heroic patrols, but that's not something that's ever, happened. They kind of started doing it with legendary lost sectors, at least it was one part. I still think that there should be periods of time where the open world, all the enemies just scale up to max light, and they
Absolutely.
just absolutely slaughter everyone that walks through it, and these poor kindergartens just can't survive, and they have to crouch scared, like the children that they are, and be protected by other higher light guardians. But in addition to some other stuff that we get, the Warmind Khanjali is the artifact for this season. It looks like a little Warmind-esque sword, which is kind of interesting. You wouldn't really picture a sword as being something created by a Warmind, but it's there. And then we've got a bunch of Russian-themed armor for the season pass. I personally am a huge fan of it. I know some people think that it looks really, really horrendously ugly. I kind of like the fur hat wearing hunter and the very blocky looking Titan, so I'm a big fan of that. And then in terms of other stuff, they talk about Trials of Osiris and how it's free to play, but you do have to be 960 light. It's gonna be interesting to see how that works out on PC and Steam with all the cheaters, and being able to basically just make a new account, bump yourself up to light pretty quickly, and then hop into it. I would hope that there would be something more besides that. I understand they want to get as many people playing as possible, but you gotta make something that prevents people from just creating a new account and hopping right in. And 960 light is not really that hard to get now that it's basically the soft cap. And that you can buy an item from Eververse that levels you right to 950, I think, or 900 or something.
Hopefully they're able to crack down with the banhammer and get things cleaned up. Definitely feel for the folks who are on PC as their primary platform and gonna have to deal with that. I'm gonna be honest, it makes me pretty happy to be on console, and just to not have those problems. Khanjali, just for those who are curious, is in fact the name of a type of double-edged dagger. It's actually essentially Russian. That's basically all there is to it. But I thought that was an interesting tidbit that it is in fact the name of like a Russian double-edged dagger. So, and the picture, like the way it looks. Like if you go on like just like Wikipedia this, the picture they have on Wikipedia and the picture of the one that Bungie used like look really similar. It just doesn't have the Warmind styling, but other than that, I feel like the aesthetic is like the same. So, yeah, I don't know. I just think that's cool. So.
And then we're also getting something called Guardian Games, which is on the war map,
Yes.
which nobody seems to know what it is. It just says free event for all players, class competition with new legendary armor. I mean, I assume maybe that's pitting Titans versus Hunters versus Warlocks somehow, and is going to be what they've decided to put into the game in place of faction rallies. Maybe. I don't know. This is something new. We haven't seen it before.
Yeah, that's the impression I have as well, and I'm pretty excited to demonstrate the Hunter Master race, and why it still is. So, we'll see how that goes for me.
It is and always will be.
The once in future class.
Right, well, I think that's it for tonight. I need to get off. We somehow ended up going over an hour despite the fact that this needed to be a short episode, so I'm going to get right to editing, try
Yep.
to get this out before I leave tomorrow morning. You got anything else you want to add?
No, I think I'm good to go.
All right, then we will see you next week, Guardians. Bye.
Peace.